Hello.
Wow.
And welcome to NPR.
Oh, God. How do we get here?
No, it's the Cube Recording Games podcast. We're not public radio.
Fooled.
We're not funded by the tech dollars. Unfortunately, we should be.
funded by gumption and sheer idiocy.
Viewers like you buy a tote bag.
Can I have a tote bag?
You to donate a tote bag. Our callers are standing by.
Oh, our callers? You can call someone who's listening right now.
That's right.
Speak with your peers.
Take your call.
It's party line.
How's it going, Lorraine?
Huh?
My name is Dustin Morbido.
Wow.
Lorraine Morbido is here.
Who is she? I've never met her.
I have to decide. My brain is really mushy right now.
You don't say.
I have to decide if we're just doing a little check-in here. We haven't done a podcast in a couple
and
weeks.
And it's been some weird weeks.
A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
I figured we'd just do a little update. I'm certain the next time we get on with other people, we'll
do something more structured.
Talk about, yeah, right, Destiny.
Dorstiny.
Maybe other games, maybe other stuff. Who knows?
There's other games now?
I don't know.
Does Destiny
allegedly
know?
Cheating on Destiny. Destiny is both the girl.
And the
both
mistress.
Girls. Yes, that's right.
It's that one meme where the guy is like turned around looking at someone. And it's just Destiny 2 and Destiny 2.
You got it.
Guardian down.
Oh, look at that cat.
She's sniffing.
Well, that's being a nuisance.
I don't think sniffing the floor is being a nuisance.
She's about to be a nuisance, I can tell.
Maybe.
See? Told you. Well, she's gonna eat
no,
that
look at her. She's just,
all right,
she's just
all
being a good kitty.
She's not eating the foam.
No, it's not yet. that comes later. When you accidentally lock her in an office for like 3 hours.
We're
she's trying to escape.
I've realized two things, which I don't think really applies.
Oh,
to
last
the
two things we just started. Now we're at the end.
No, I've realized two things while
God.
Recording for that other stuff.
I thought you meant recording right now. I was like, sweetie, it's been 2 minutes.
No, it's like as I've tried to record for for the purposes of putting voice over a video.
Yeah.
I both have had to rewrite some stuff just to be a little more easier to speak.
That's why I told you to read stuff out loud before you did anything.
But also, I have had to speak in a way that that is more, more like, I guess, not like, but more like that like absolutely hilarious laid back intro that I did. No, it's just like I have found a need to since I don't know, podcasting is different. Where it's like,
it's a conversation.
Yeah, right. It's as much you're just kind of vibing. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, I never assume that anything I say is so important that it I feel like if you really had to, you could like a stenographer could type it up, but that's not really like, you know, it's as much about keeping the conversation flowing as it is about clarity. And I feel like in the context of a YouTube video where you're
I think you just mean scripted content in general.
Yeah,
honestly.
You're just trying to accurately convey factually correct information that like if you speak at a certain speed or like it just like it is more likely that you'll be less well understood. So I've had to like in my mind take whatever the 100% like if it were an old lawnmower, I would go from rabbit and move it a tick or two towards tortoise. Yeah.
See, now you're just doing what I do at work when I have to present. Like, I've essentially got a script. Obviously, mine's a little more malleable depending on what I'm doing. I'm not, like, verbatim reading off copy or anything. But, like, there's a tone. There's inflections. There's a speed. There's all of that. You just got to get it. It's a performer's voice. I am a trained monkey. Mm-hmm. I make pottery.
That's fair. And I've been watching other people on YouTube too for inspiration. Mm-hmm. Like people whose content I, you know, would like to be
to emulate to
some degree, one way or another.
Use as inspiration.
Yeah, and
start,
trying to pick up things that are right, that are like I think are positive for other people, and try to like do slightly better or slightly different than some of the other stuff. Like,
Names.
I was trying to think of good examples. Like,
Empty.
I still think the Defunct Land videos are real good in terms of just like covering a subject mostly clearly.
Yeah.
And like narrative, like
he's got a good delivery.
Yeah, and especially in the like the
amazing
series that I wonder when he'll ever finish it up. But the series that he's doing now that is like going from like basically the genesis of
The genesis to the Saturn
of the Sega Saturn. Yeah, from early like parks and fairs and like why can't I think of the World's Fairs up through like the creation of Epcot, where he's like near the end of that now, of the actual Epcot Park in Walt Disney World to but yeah, there hasn't been a video on that in a while, but he's always good. Kevin Perger, the guy who runs that channel, is good at
what a name
at taking. He's a good, I would say he's a solid documentarian on YouTube.
Yeah,
where he takes a subject and wraps just enough narrative around it to make it like to tell a story
maybe
and also relay
like,
information.
Maybe you just have to be named Kevin, because like maybe that's just a what's Burns? Kevin Burns?
It's Ken.
Damn it.
Not quite. Close. You just need a K name.
Okay. Solid K names. Need not apply.
So there's that. Like that part I would like to get right, of just like being able to tell a story about in the cases if we're trying to talk about like a series of factually correct, like a series of real events that happen in some place in a form, and just be compelling vocally, like I think Jenny Nicholson's real good, and I was looking across the, like, if there are three female YouTubers that I've been watching recently, just like kind of comparing notes between them, it would be well, I mean, I've been watching Jenny's for a long time, but Jenny and Lindsay Ellis and Sarah Zed. She calls herself Sarah Zed, right?
I mean, she's
Canadian.
If I call
Canadian. Her Sarah Z, she's going to, like, be upset
with
me.
It's because she's Canadian.
I can hear the, kind of, like, when she says the word about, I'm like, oh, yeah, she's Canadian.
She's got, there's a flavor to her. I actually watched her her more recent video the other day about, God,
I had
what
part
was
of
that?
It on in the background. For,
what was it?
It was Hunger Games.
Right, that's it was the Hunger Games. Yeah. Or the YA dystopian thing. There's a part of me that wishes her videos were just a little bit shorter, because she makes such long content.
So here's the thing about her, and like I don't want to sound negative, because I think she puts out really good content.
She does, yeah. It's all really well done, but it's just, it's so much for a single sitting.
Like if I had like two columns where I'm putting pros cons for people's, like, I would say that she is very understandable.
Mm-hmm.
And like very, like,
she's got a really good delivery. She's got,
yeah, the way she speaks is very, like,
she's very well researched,
approachable
on her topics,
and
like,
easy to listen to, yeah. And like she conveys the information she's saying in a way that is both accurate
and animated. She's actually a very animated
people. I like her cadence of speech,
yeah,
and like the word, like you said, the scripts, the verbiage she chooses to use, like she gets as complicated as she needs to be without being overcomplicated.
Oh, I can't remember the name
of her writing partner,
her editor,
yeah, because she mentions it in the videos.
Yeah, their names. Emily is the, I believe, I think, or that starts with an E.
Okay.
The editor.
Yeah, I know she has mentioned one or more people. I think she has one principal, right?
Yeah.
Like one,
I'm pretty sure.
That. One principal collaborator.
I could be incorrect, but I remember that name. That name is specifically called out in that latest video.
Yeah, but I think the most interesting thing between her and Jenny, and I think I want to be closer to the Jenny end of the spectrum personally, is that for this part specifically, is that like so at the end, if you had to strip it down to its bare, like, what do these two people do? It's like, oh, they sit in front of a camera and talk about stuff.
Yeah.
But Jenny has such a, like, there's such a snappiness to her edits.
Oh, God.
Like the cuts she makes for comedic effect and stuff. Like, that's, I really appreciate that. And if
there's the boy,
if I had to give a downside,
give
to,
us the boy
to Sarah Zed's presentation, it's that, like, I do feel like her editing is a little dry. Like
she feels more like a partway between Jenny and Defunct Land, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a lot more of the, like, here are the facts.
Yeah, and
like,
that's,
I'm delivering, it's essentially like a pop culture documentary lens on a lot of different subject matters, but from stuff on like Tumblr to popular shows, book series things, goddamn Homestuck.
And that's the thing that I think is just like, I think that's just like, if you choose to put the content out in the form, putting it where mostly it is like kind of a vlogging format visually, like it's like you in front of a camera. Like, I think that's just kind of the, like, that's the thing that I guess it's more, I'll try to frame it more as a compliment to Jenny and not less of a negative to Sarah, but like the fact that Jenny does it in that form. And like I said, just has such a good, to the point that I wonder how much of it, like, I wonder how much she writes those edits in her scripts, or how much she just, like, as she's going through the footage, just finds really funny, punchy ways.
I wonder
places
if
to
part
put
of it is,
because
I don't know. I know Sarah's got like a theater background.
Mm.
And I wonder if part of the process is different for Jenny is because she's got more of like a film, it feels like, background. Because she was on larger channels at one point.
Yeah, right.
And she worked with more of that process.
Yeah, I could believe that.
And translated that into her own content. Whereas I think Sarah's starting kind of from the ground, or at least like built her base in more of a grassroots type start. Because like, she doesn't really have sets as much as like Jenny goes into sets like crazy. Lindsay kind of does that a little bit too. Mm-hmm. And none of them are anywhere near ContraPoints for sets.
And even just filling the, like, right, it. Jenny will just fill the frame with
she gets relevant
objects.
Like, man, I love following her on Twitter. And maybe someday I'll get some kind of Patreon and subscribe to her Patreon, because I just like her a lot. She's a lot of fun, and the like passion with which she like laser focuses on such bizarre topics is just really fun to watch.
Yeah. But yeah, that, or like you said, Lindsay is a good example too of like in the edit of like, you can tell that. That, I mean, she obviously, like, half her channel is that she has a background in film.
But
like, you can see it in like the like that. And I have no background in film. You know, I just like to think of myself as a savvy media watcher. Like, I've seen a TV show or a movie or two. Mm-hmm.
But so, I mean, like, if you pay attention to that and then look more into the like nuts and bolts of it, you're gonna see it more, and you're gonna like, in concept, understand it more.
Yeah.
And I know, as like, as someone who has like gone into like, the most editing I've ever done, like on actual like footage, like recorded footage, was our Kickstarter video. I did that. Like, we recorded all the footage together and I put the whole sequence together. And that was my literal like baby's first video edit. And since then, my editing has been reserved to making really dumb Destiny montages, two of which I put a sizable amount of time in for no one's amusement but my own. And like, it's hard. It's very hard. Anyone who can do that well and like just make it look seamless or just super like tight and on point. That's amazing. I'm dumbfounded by it.
And it's not, and it's even not like, it is hard, but it is also just time consuming.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's more, like, it's such a sink.
Yeah, it's like, right. It's a real time investment to put a bunch of, to take a bunch of footage and find proper chunks of it that mesh up with what you're trying to convey visually or say verbally, if it is like a thing that goes with like, you know, voiceover or something, and put that stuff on a timeline with like snappy edits that you know, that have a pace to them, where you kind of like,
where half the content is the editing as opposed to just like shifting from like take to take or shot to shot or whatever.
Yeah. As opposed to people who do even stuff that's like not like that, as opposed to people who do like live streaming, like if you're just kind of sitting in a chair for hours at a time, and like that's just a, that's like a live podcast format basically, where you're just kind of vibing with people and kind of hanging out.
And that, like, the big crux of that is just, like, goddamn endurance. Because that
takes a
bunch of different muscles you're flexing.
A lot of energy just to keep doing that for hours on end, for sure. Which, like, I don't think I'd ever want to do that. Like I said, I'm not opposed to streaming stuff. We've done plenty of that. But not, like, I would never want to stream
daily,
8 hours a day, 5 or more days a week. Like, that doesn't sound like fun to me.
Unless it was, like, I mean, the only thing that I could see that being is if it was, like the game dev or art stuff. Like, if I'm working towards a final product from that, as opposed to like just playing a game. Like, I don't know if I'd want to do that, but if it's like, oh, I'm already working on this thing anyway, and we're just here to vibe, like, yes, I could see that being more of a more of a hook to get me into doing any of that, but like, just no. I'm not built as a streamer.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, if I had,
I get
like
sleepy after a while.
If I had to make like a, like put 4 points in corners, it probably might be those four, and then like land somewhere between them. It might be Defunct Land, Jenny, Lindsay, Sarah, and like other people would be in the mix too. Like,
you got four more corners on that square. Make it a
Other channels like H Bomber Guy's good.
I don't know if I've ever watched any.
ContraPoints is great, although both of them are they're probably a tick more overtly political than I think I want to start out as. Mm. Like, I definitely have a slant, but like I'm not quite like
everybody's got a bias.
The last thing on earth that I want to do, and I'm not gonna say never, because I'm sure it'll come up at one point if I make any number of videos other than one, but like the last thing I emotionally want to do in my life is like watch footage of people like Donald Trump and Tucker Carlson and put it in a thing. Just the act of consuming it in like period is like, no, I just don't want to spend time looking at their stupid fucking faces.
Valid.
Like, it's just not a way that I want to experience life, is by looking at shitty people. And the other half is they also do, they are both high on the theatrics. And that's another, I don't have the energy. Like, I'm straight up, even if I had the style.
The style of ContraPoints
videos. I'm too lazy to,
the meticulous, finely crafted set pieces, costume, staging. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, but I respect the shit out of people who are able to, like,
Bathtub filled with like jewels or whatever.
That's another it's another performance thing.
Oh god.
I'm trying to think of other people. Philosophy Tube is good too.
Never watched
She is another a trans mostly philosophy in general, but still like very politically focused kind of.
Right.
But she did her transition like when I found ContraPoints, she had already transitioned.
Mm.
And Philosophy Tube, she did her transition as I was watching that channel, which was interesting because
Well, I know a lot of ContraPoints' older videos that were during that process have since been taken down.
Yeah, and you know, so I respect that.
It was
too.
The same. I mean, I'm just saying it was a similar process, just you came in later.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Right, but it's you're right. You're 100% right. It's not like it was like a different scenario. It's just like the time on the timeline
the
when I was aware of them relative to them making, you know.
I gotcha.
That big step in their lives was but you know, good for them. And
you do you, my dudes.
I was just thinking about just trying to rattle off other people. I think Jim Sterling does good content, and they're another
I think I've watched maybe tiny bits of Jim Sterling stuff.
I think they are they because they're non-binary.
Who?
Jim Sterling. Oh, okay. But they still go by Jim. But like,
I don't think I knew that actually.
Yeah.
My apologies.
So I'm not putting you on notice or anything. I'm just saying there's just more people who are. But
it helps to be aware.
Yeah.
You gotta learn something
but
new.
The thing
day.
About that is I think it's really I think queer content creators on YouTube are very useful to follow, because I think that if you're the kind of person who has found yourself in life having to introspect yourself to that degree to kind of figure out who you are, I think there's just I think those people are just like
more
in general
aware.
Not every single person on earth or whatever, but I think statistically on average
anyone who's done that amount of self-introspection has some level higher level
they
of
have
self-awareness
kind of by
just
even
because.
Just society, you know, forcing them to reckon with a thing out a thing within themselves, that if they are, you know, deciding to live their life that is different than the baseline traditional normie, you know, whatever. Yeah, I think there's just...
I think I've also noticed a lot of that even in just, like, more female content creators over male ones, just because, like, regardless of where on any kind of identity spectrum you are, I feel there's something different about it. And I don't know if that's just because I can resonate with it in a certain way as opposed to just, like, I don't know, like Defunct Land or Bife or whatever, like... Mm-hmm. There's something different that I'm able to like really key in on.
I think you're right. And it's the opposite of the observation we've made on here before, which I still think is totally accurate, is in that like Again, not every single one, but statistically speaking, I do think that people who are like on the conservative end of the political spectrum become less thoughtful and introspective the further they go to the right. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think that it is baked into that philosophy of that just like, all right.
Well, when you're always right, there's no need to question.
It's just the things that conservatism asks of you are like, oh, are you what... Are you what we have deemed to me, like, you know...
Are you a good one?
The ideal, right. The ideal baseline, like, you know, human, then good. You don't need to worry about anything.
It's because I'm a robot.
Your thoughts and actions are all... We're signing off on them, so go do whatever. and it's just... Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. But yeah, I want to land somewhere in this world of all of that. Like I said, I don't think I'll ever... and there's also practicalities, like, in addition to not being, like, the Defunctland influence is real strong, because that was honestly one of the first channels that just got me into, like, YouTube content being good.
Sure.
And also in terms of using existing, like...
Footage
and stuff, yeah. That's more what I... Like, I don't want... I would never go as far as, like, I don't care about people knowing what I look like. Like, Kevin is still very protective of, like, his privacy to that degree. And I respect that, too. Like, if you want to do that, that's fine. But, I mean, we've got other content on the internet for anyone who gives a shit.
Yeah.
Like, if anyone wants to see my face, it's not
We've been making this kind of stuff for nigh on 7 years now.
Yeah, but at the same time...
way, shape, or form.
In the same vein as people, like, you know, ContraPoints and other publicly facing people have mentioned, it's just like, I don't think I want to look at my own face for... 80 hours putting a thing together, like, it's just not, it's just not a like, I want to look at it more than Tucker Carlson's shitty face, but not by like a lot. By like a little.
I've got mirrors for that, sweetie. I don't need to see it on the computer screen.
Yeah, so that's like a right. It's not like I would never put a single frame of any part of myself in a video ever, but it's just like, I don't want myself to be most of the presentation visually of whatever things I may or may not end up putting together.
It's every so often film like reaction shots, just like
take off glasses,
basically
with the camera. A murder.
You're just like at your, because like some people, like, or at least I've noticed some editors specifically, I think in a lot of the That Sounds Like a You Problem montages that are on Bife's channel, like, he'll anyone in their group will ask the editor for something, and sometimes it'll just cut to him at the like editing computer, and he's just like he just makes a face or whatever, and I think that's funny. Personally, I think that kind of stuff, like those little like wink and nod type things, is silly.
Yeah, that stuff's, again, a good edit I respect. There's Trainer Tips, one of those Pokemon Go YouTubers. That's like vlogging content. Like, he is mostly just like what's going on in his life and also things that may or may not be happening in Pokemon Go. But he, like, when he does those, I've seen that's a fun edit I like, where like he'll have a frame on the video and then cut perfectly from that to a shot of his camera pointed at that point on the, like, the edit track to insert a thing about like the video he's currently editing. Like, it's just a fun little like I said, I respect clever,
a good edit's a good edit.
Yeah, clever tight little cuts like that are it's fun. It's just more fun than just cutting to like a different camera angle or whatever. Like, it's just a little something, you know.
It's something as a treat.
Yeah,
you're really just squeaking that chair, huh?
Yeah, I gotta do something about it. stand still more, get a new chair or whatever. But,
you've got a new chair.
Gotta learn to not bounce my leg 47 times a minute. But anyway, yeah, I've been messing with that, so someday that Henry Ford thing will be done.
Wahoo.
Still might do that other thing in the middle, I'm not sure yet.
Woo. Cryptic.
Right, just a lot of,
I mean, I know things,
just looking forward to getting something done.
Yeah,
that's mostly what's been on my mind, and messing with some game stuff, card game things, hopefully more down the drain. Just trying to keep on things and make progress. But yeah, it's going okay. It's just, like I said, I'm at the point where I've got a really good, I just got to put hours in. It's going to take more time to, like, I feel like I have a real clarity of focus for how that Ford video is going to finish up, because it's just in the thick of the informational content now.
Yeah.
So it doesn't need to be as fancy as the intro did. Well, sure. Not that that needed to be, but I like but, that I yeah. wanted to start off with something yeah. that was a little more eye-catching than.
I mean, it's only down from there, so mm-hmm. you might as well start on the highest note you can to make the incline maybe less steep or just faster.
Yeah. I mean, here's a question for you that Yikes. I was going to ask you at some other point, but I can ask you real time.
You just and like we'll to get, put me on the spot.
Get some
you?
Feedback, and then
Love
maybe
it.
I may or may not do this, but we'll find out.
Fantastic.
What do you think about?
I've never thought before in my life.
Indeed.
Uh-huh.
Yes. No, I was going to say, what do you think about what amount of content warning do you think is appropriate, if any, for like something like the Ford thing? Cuz I've got like two places like I'm at the part now where we're really getting into the thick of anti-Semitism straight mm-hmm. up. And it's just like in my gut, I feel like, and I have a specific line of dialogue later where things get, believe it or not, even
yeah.
darker. Like there's a whole,
yeah, I remember that.
There's a
like,
whole like sentence
a
or two about like, look, shit's about to get really dark. So if you just don't want to stick around, this is the time to leave. Mm-hmm. So there's that too. But I don't know if I should put anything else either at the very start of the video or before things start to get like where we really start to get into like the racism as a like I feel like my gut tells me that like because here's the thing I'm not against content warnings whatsoever. I think they're mm-hmm. good to, I think it's good to give people a heads up if it doesn't seem like if you're about to blindside them with something
yeah.
that might be unsettling or upsetting. But I feel like my gut tells me that like my first instinct is that like from the first like two sentences you understand that this video is gonna do this mm-hmm. so like other than like very specific descriptions of like you know hate or violence or whatever I kind of feel like it's summed up in that but I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I've seen it handled a few ways. I know sometimes it'll get like cut in. And, like, that's fine. Like, if it's, especially if it's such a left turn in a particular video, I've seen it done that way. I've also seen it just up front, like, hey, God, I wish, I mean, I'm gonna real time find this one person that I recently, that she didn't have that many videos out just yet. But, oh, look, she recently put out a video. If I could scroll at all, oh my God, YouTube app, stop playing this horrible ad that I don't care about. Noralities. She's got a lot of stuff about anime that I've recently started watching. But a lot of her warnings have been right up front. Like, there's just a hey, here's a list. Because some of this, like, she was touching on some, like pedophilia and stuff like that in
yeah.
certain animes in particular, like Dragon's Maid or whatever that show is called. And things like that where she'll just up front, yo,
mm-hmm.
and then go on from there because that's the topic of the video. I mean, I feel like a decent way to even do it could just be a card up front, even the description, like.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would do that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point, too. Yeah, I'll keep thinking about it.
I used to think Neuralities is she. I don't remember if I've seen anything otherwise. It hasn't been posting very long. Like, I think maybe mm-hmm. over the past maybe 2 years, a handful of videos, and I just found her the other day out of nowhere. Them, damn it. Ugh.
I feel like them is good. Like, if you don't,
I've been
if you
trying,
don't actually know.
I've been trying really
right.
hard to do that more.
I don't do
and
that.
It just slips.
Yeah, I don't do that as often as I should.
I really
right,
am.
Like, I feel like unless you're an asshole. Like, if someone refers to you neutrally, like, you're not going to make a big stink about it. Like I don't, like, I wouldn't prefer, like, I don't really mind what people call me.
Yeah.
But, so I don't prefer they, them pronouns, but if someone uses them in uh-huh. reference to me, I'm not going to be upset by it. So I feel,
yeah.
but I feel like the only people
I try,
really would are like, just
like. Because in, like, a lot of the Discord circles that I'm in have, like, pronoun preferences that you can set.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I mean, it's hard to cycle through everyone, like, especially, like, in. Sometimes when you're just like in a voice chat and people pop in or whatever, like on some of the art discords I'm in, it's just, I try at least for myself to put that out there. And I know a lot of other people do too. Like, I've got it on Twitter. I've got it anywhere generally that has like a profile where you would see that information. And a lot of people do too. And I've been trying to make a conscious effort to default to they, them. And I slip sometimes. And I'm sorry, everyone. I've done that too. I greatly apologize. Mm-hmm. I just saw that Norality's new videos about Cardcaptor Sakura, and I'm interested. But it's an hour, so it'll be a minute.
It's right up your alley.
I know.
I'll keep that all in consideration, because, like I said, at this point, I'm just part of it is also a matter of just like other work that I want to do, because I do feel like saying it, speaking it is better than just a card.
Yeah.
And like I said, I have that for like when it really...
I think in your case, like you said, the intro sets up the mood.
Yeah.
Like once you get like, you see that and then you get hit with the punch or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure if you also like appropriately title the video, should be pretty obvious where we're going with this.
Yeah.
I still do think that your warning later on in the script is definitely good.
Yeah, that's going to stay, right?
Yeah, I personally don't think you need more than like how you set it up and then have like a written kind of like, hey,
yeah,
stuff's about to get weird.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah, I appreciate the feedback. Like I said, I just wanted to at least for, and you can let me know if you have different thoughts as you look at the cut once it's done, or just like as I keep updating.
Yeah,
or whatever,
definitely.
But yeah, it's just the kind
provide
of thing
feedback
where
I can.
Like I do feel like I said, in general, I am supportive of doing that for people, like giving them warnings when you're going to talk about stuff that's particularly gnarly. But also, like you said, at the same time, I think that content should be as short as you can make it while still being clear, and I like a good solid like snappy pace. So if you do that too, if you do that too often, or you do it in the wrong spots, I feel like it's just like it just makes the thing drag without like, you know, it's good that you did that, but could you have done it better? or like I said, at baseline, I also don't want to assume like I hopefully will be able to make content that is adult enough, not in like, you know, not like
not safe for
X-rated
work stuff,
or like hundreds of swears adult, but like adult enough that like it's expecting you to come in interested, like thoughtful, that like this should
an
speak for itself, right? Like
type,
if you're
kind of
if
deal.
You are like, I'm gonna present it like that, like it's clear that this is gonna talk about some stuff in this realm, and like as a thinking person who is interested in this topic, you should be able to infer some amount of that just by showing up. So we'll see. But it's a process. But yeah, that's mostly been on my mind. Just all that creative stuff. And like I said, I don't know. It's been fun. It's been like I've still felt... I just wish there were more hours in the day. Because I felt really good about every little thing. Working on the video stuff or the little... bits I've put into Down the Drain recently, which I would definitely want to do more of again. If every day was 3 hours long, I would have done all the things I've done so far and then done a little more stuff on that too. And do working on card stuff. It's just, to some degree, I am proud of all the things we're messing with right now.
Maybe you should make yourself kind of a schedule, like dedicate dedicating days to certain projects. So like you don't necessarily get like you could always like shift a day or two around. Like if you're really, really jiving with cards one day and you want to keep working on it the next day, like maybe just dedicate specific time to like, I mean, it's kind of what I do with like a lot of the housework stuff. Like it keeps me from getting overwhelmed.
I'm really just trying to get better
flow
on like time frames and number of hours set aside to do something, because like you said, I don't personally think I'll be able to, where I'm at right now, I don't personally think I'll necessarily be able to just say this is card time, I'm gonna do cards or whatever, just because I do feel like I need, like I feel like I'll get half as much done if I try to force myself to do a thing that I don't have an immediate idea about.
That's fair.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So I could force myself to go do card things for 3 hours, but if I don't have a predefined goal that I came across that afternoon, like, oh, here's a thing I can work on, then I'm going to spend half of that time thinking about a thing to do and the other half doing it. Whereas, like I said, I feel like I'm in a really good place with the Ford video now,
mm-hmm.
where like just every time I sit down, almost every minute of that will be like some amount of forward progress, just because I kind of know where it's going at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just deep enough in where it's doing less finding sources and less finding material and more just pulling something out of a out of like one of
so
my 28 folders.
Decision making is execution at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I gotcha.
For sure. But yeah, you're right. It's just the better. And again, if I can, I do still want to restabilize my sleep schedule. To like, I'm working on it.
Yeah. Gotten up a bit earlier the past few days.
Yeah. Which will help too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's where I've been at. So other than that, how are you doing?
I
want to hear about your, you tell me and whoever happens to come across
Yikes.
This, how your stuff's been going, how you feel about your writing stuff, how do you feel about work stuff, how do you feel about all of the other things we've been messing with?
We can start with the maybe more like mundane of it. Like, work's been going. Sorry, Mike just asked if anyone was interested in a vault of disappointment tonight. Got me a chuckle. I'm not in the Sad Vex Boys anymore, so I'm not one to complain. But like we're chugging along. It's been a long summer season. We've just now this week marks the end of that in our transition into fall officially for like 2 months, and then it's winter. Because we're starting Halloween this week, and I'm the vanguard in the first night of our Halloween. Because they put an apostrophe in there, so I don't know if like it's between the E's at the end.
Is that supposed to be like old timey?
I think
is it just
so.
Like,
or I don't know if it's. I've never known if it's that or if it's supposed to be like weekend. Like
it's probably
Halloween.
The second one. But I don't know for sure.
Halloween is so, that is genius. Cedar Point crushed it on that.
Right.
That's amazing.
They've got
it's,
it.
It's perfect. Don't change a thing. But yeah, so we're starting that, and it's every Thursday through Sunday. We are only open at night, but technically open during the day for members to come and just meander around while our doors are closed. And my schedule's getting rightly jacked with various night shifts, shifting my days around a little bit more. I'm now working every Wednesday as opposed to only working every other Wednesday, and like half as many Fridays as I'm used to working, which is weird, but it'll be something. God, I hope we have a presenter on Saturdays. fun times. But I mean, it's been good. I like hulked it out and like sped through making a bunch of a new ornament that got dumped on me like a month before our catalog was printed. And that's like a royal printed because it's only online. It's not physical. Like it hasn't been for the past 2 years. So that was fun. Just been chugging along, doing a bunch of stuff there. Haven't really been like, I guess I wouldn't say I've been like advancing anything through there because I've had to be working by myself all this summer season, or at least the latter half. When we opened, I had like a day with our head decorator. I'm going to see her for the first time since like I'm working my first shift with her since literally the 4th of July tomorrow, which is going to be wild because I can't spread out over our side like I usually do when I'm alone. But that'll be nice. It'll be nice to have like critique again, because she was confident in, I mean, I was too, in my ability to pretty much function autonomously. Like, I'm not doing anything crazy or like that I haven't done multiple times before, but it had to be a very hands off because we're so short staffed and it's all hands all the time. We're doing okay, chugging along. We got our product for the catalog, so that's a that's a relief.
Just like everything, like all your quotas.
I mean, it got released, so they had to have it to like they had to have the quotas that they had asked for by last Monday or whatever that was.
You should be proud. That shit, that's a big
2,000 ornaments,
right,
of which I did at least half. It's more than half.
Probably the because probably they, well, most of them.
No, because it's more like 2,300 because they did tack on 300 pumpkins and I did all of those and then some. Uh-huh. And then.
Yeah, that's impressive.
I made a lot of ornaments. I'm still making them.
Good for you guys. Good for you personally. Shit.
Poor Alex. All those. He was the sole person making our whole new line of porcelain stuff. And I know he says that he really likes working with porcelain. But, like, man, he's just been a machine. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, that's hard,
it's
too.
It's crazy.
When everybody is, to some degree, so siloed that like, mm-hmm. you can't swap one person nope. in for the other.
Nope.
So, like, when you have those quotas to hit and there's really... only, you know, one person mm-hmm. can really do all this and one person can really do all this. It's hard to make it up if someone, for whatever reason.
That's why
you know,
we're not doing special order plates anymore.
Yeah.
Because we literally do not have the manpower to do it. And that's all she used to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's like all she did and like a Santa plate a week or whatever. Now it's multiple snowmen plates, which is a similar level of complexity.
Mm-hmm.
The Santa face is like a lot, but and the snowman design is a little simpler. But she's been doing ornaments, and she's been doing all the awards, all of or at least a good half of the vessels that need to get decorated because I get the rest of it. And yeah, it's just we're
yeah
we're trying because right, I mean everybody else has been pigeonholed too, like. We've got one potter doing just the jack-o'-lanterns and like some of the other like luminary and holiday things. And another one doing literally just stoneware because we have to be split that much because
it's not a lot of redundancy,
no.
Which again, like that's the kind of thing you could have if you could hire a few more people.
Yeah. That's probably not going to happen anytime soon. At least we cut back on our product line a little bit. I think fuck.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're trucking along, doing what we can. Got this month of evening programs, then we're back open for like normal November, which is just Friday through Sunday, if my memory is correct. And then December we're closed again for holiday nights, which is like I don't think that's 7 days of night programs. God, I hope it's not 7 days of night programs. we don't have the presenters for that. Much less the fucking people. But we'll see. Take October 1st. But, yeah, working on it. I'm doing a lot more art, just kind of in general. That's another thing that's been nice. Like, aside from just getting to, like, kind of hang out with some people in Discord Monday evenings, just making myself do more art has been a lot of fun. Like during the I know I've talked about this before, but during the shutdown last year, I did a lot more just kind of daily, which might be why my wrist is a little more fucked up now. But art is art, I guess, and art destroys your wrists. But just keeping on that has been really good, and I've been working on more figure drawing, which is hard, but I'm getting better at it, hopefully. Still doing my art streams and kind of finally have a way that I like doing backgrounds. Like, I've been forcing myself recently to do more scene paintings scene deconstruction,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just doing a, like, I don't know what you would call that, just like a static image on like a nondescript background, which was kind of more my forte before. And I've been really enjoying it. And I kind of I'm in like a groove now, and I'm not as intimidated on making. I mean, I made like a 5-panel comic like a week ago or whatever that I put a lot of time into. That was like 8 separate days of work, varying lengths. But those were all full color, fully background design stuff, and I really enjoyed doing that. Just trucking along in that regard. And like, I mean, I'm maybe writing more than ever before, just because I've started doing more of it on my phone too.
Yeah, you said you even like taking time during your lunch break and stuff to like, which like I said, I respect the shit out of you.
I mean, it's just like, it's kind of like I was like when I was on like my call yesterday, it's just like, I've got so many ideas, like just because my mind wanders, like I need something to fill the hours of listening to a presenter roar the same benign information over and over again in my ears.
I mean, how often when you're doing stuff like that on like the little times you have off at work or whatever, like during your break times there, are you ever really contributing to chapters, or is it a lot of like, okay, I was wondering if it was more like shower of thoughts, just like just typing out things like, what if frogs were people, question mark.
I honestly don't really do that much note taking. I'll have like a rough outline, which is something I did like put together a little bit at one point today to just give myself a baseline, because like a lot of that I keep in like mental sticky notes. And the outline is just to like keep an ordered flow of like, it's really like high level events. Like it's these characters, they're doing this, this, this is happening. These people are coming in, such and like, it's really, really rough. And then I just go from there. Like I spend a lot of time like mulling over certain ideas before I ever put them to paper, a text document or whatever. And I mean, spending more time writing is extremely helpful in that regard, because it literally just like, it's like flushing a cache or something like that. It's just, it's clearing the feed. It's just like, because I noticed that when I wrote the first thing that I did, the base draft of the book that I published, like just getting the ideas out of my head freed up so much mental space to like flesh out other stuff and just like workshop it in a way, because whenever I write, I'll have my first draft and then I'll sit on it for like weeks at a time, because I've got such an amazing, like, I guess it's, is it like 5 months? October, November, December, January, February. It's like, yeah, it's like 4.5 months of buffer between what is currently coming out and what I'm working on at the moment. And just being able to like clear that information out of my head, have it stored somewhere, I can then like, I'll reread it a few times and then just like side by side two documents, rewrite completely from like going off of what I already have, but then adding like, oh, if I had a different idea later on that I want to tie back into up here, or I thought of a different detail or a different way to word things, that lets me fine tooth comb it a lot more, which is really nice. And then I do like an actual read and then a full spelling grammar pass, because I think that's why I like writing in WordPad, because there's no clutter. There's no like grammar lines or spell check lines. It's just text. I don't have to worry about that up front.
That's why I still use it's just fucking Notepad for like making notes to myself. Like I wouldn't, I wouldn't use that for doing the writing you're writing, but just to like, as a reminder to myself, I don't need anything more complicated than just the text.
I mean, I've got like, cause in a lot of my things I'll have, plain text and these rich text files from WordPad. Cause a lot of that's just like character descriptions. It's summaries of like essentially a table of contents that I fill in as I write chapters, so I know where things are, kind of like where this chapter's starting, where the chapter ends, and like any big event in the middle or whatever, which helps me find like if I'm looking for something specific and like, oh, what, like I want to check this reference or whatever, which I do a lot. It's very helpful. My editing and writing process is weird, but it works enough for me. One of the nice things about writing more on my phone is that I do get the autocorrect from the phone itself, which can help me like, oh God, sweetie, this isn't actually the word you're looking for or a word you're thinking of, or you've spelled, you don't know how to spell syringe, because I definitely don't. There's one word I always get wrong. Oh my God, I can't think of it at the moment. There's one word I will always spell wrong 110% of the time. And I should know the difference, but I don't. It's very special. There's a handful that are like that, actually, because I'm really actually very stupid. But I don't know. That just... trucking along. It's everything else, like real life stuff, is probably at the hardest I've ever had it recently. There's a lot that demands a lot of my attention almost 24/7, and having creative outlets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's always been like that. Fucking saved me last year with just the ups and downs of, oh, am I going to have a job still? Or like, God, I don't want to go outside ever again because everyone is basically dying all the time. So just having some kind of creative release, or even just the smallest bit of escape, that ironically is very tuned to me because I'm the one I'm writing for, is very helpful. Keeping me sane, which is a low bar because I was very not sane to begin with.
Again, I'm just, I know that, like you said, things are just crazy in general still.
They bad.
In a lot of ways, but I really respect your ability to keep on with all that stuff, like art and drawing and work, and I'm just really impressed still.
I mean, because the base of it is still just like, it's just creative work. Like, mm-hmm. granted, I'm doing production at the pottery shop, but it's still like, I'm basically painting or drawing every single day.
You are creating. And again, there's just a nice sensation to sitting down with some stuff in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time you stand back up, you have a physical manifestation of the effort you put in. It's just, like you can't get that with everything. So in the instances where you can, it's just, there's something that's really...
I need to take a picture of that first train ornament I did on Saturday. Because God, it's bad. It's really bad. Like, and I hate it so much.
There's a psychic healing.
It's like you tried.
To seeing effort made manifest in physical form.
Because I have a small following of people to enjoy mostly the writing and a little of the art here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been a few times where I've like posted essentially like a status update on the account that I'm doing all my posting on. It's like just kind of like any end of a story, I'll do something to kind of like segue from that to the next thing, or like halfway points, I'll let people know like, hey, we're here, like we're partway done and we're still going strong or whatever. But I've hinted at like that things aren't great, but haven't gone into any specific terms. And everyone is like, there's like a handful of that following that are just like super nice. And I haven't had anyone openly antagonistic. They're all very nice, but a handful of them will comment on almost everything. And like a handful of them are like, hey, like, you don't have to like keep posting all the time. Like, you don't understand. This is what's keeping me sane. It's not like, because I'm not like, I know I'm not beholden to anyone but myself. And with the way that I write, when I start posting something, it's already finished. Like, I'm not churning stuff out as I go, which would make me extremely anxious and very aware of a writing schedule all the time. But, it fills the hours, man. I'll spend a good chunk of my morning just around other stuff that I'm doing, writing or editing or just organizing shit. And it's just nice. It's just a nice thing to have. And then I can just browse through all these folders of... got to be hundreds of pages by now. I honestly, I wish there was an easy way to go through and actually see like a word count without having to open everything. Just to see how much I have physically written in the, what did I said it the other day? Is it four? No, it's like 3.5 years. It'll be 4 next year.
Like weekly.
Of by like 2 times a week posting.
It's pretty impressive.
With, because I know in that other podcast I had I'd given a
one of the other
a page count and a like actual like chapter count or something like that, not a word count. That would be
pointless.
Yeah, it's a dumb metric,
right?
But it would just, because I someone called my book a cinder block in a very kind and loving way, and it is. It's a monster. Mm-hmm. I haven't written any single work that long. Granted, that is 4 separate stories in there. It's not one long thing. But like, yeah, I've got a lot of stuff going on all the time. But it's good. That's that and the mindless release of Destiny when I'm not getting verbally accosted is really nice.
Yeah, I feel you.
And Picross. I've always got Picross. Even when it's really hard. Mega Picross is hard because I'm very stupid. I'm almost done with S5 of that. And then I've got Color, and then I've got the other one. There's more. There's also a Genesis one that they released recently with like Genesis era sprite work as the Picross puzzles, which isn't top on my list of Picross games that I want. S6 is the next one that I'm going to wait for to be on sale. Mm-hmm. But Picross is a nice just kind of breather.
Yeah, for sure.
Love me some Packers.
Got one thing. Now that you mentioned that, I have one other thing on my mind. Do you want to take us back? Take us all the way back to our roots? Do you want to talk about one video game thing? And maybe we'll just wrap this up.
Video games.
So I played, after watching Wade play it over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
Played a little Slay the Spire the other day. And it's okay. It looked, I think I had more fun watching him play it than I did playing it myself. Like, I didn't hate it or anything, but after playing it for a couple hours, I got to use the purple character.
Mm. Oh, do you have to, like, unlock them?
Yeah, you have to unlock stuff just by playing for a while. And their thing is that they, like,
I think I watched him play a little of that.
I think you could probably quantify, like, each of the 4 characters has, like, 2 builds you can go down. Like 2 ways you can build the deck that they build.
Mm-hmm.
And the purple one is, it's got a stance change thing, which I was like, well, this is fucking pointless and dog shit compared to the other thing it does. But stance change thing is, like, it's just card effects that either say that they change its state, or, like, they build up... Basically, it would be like a number of counters or something if it were a physical game. Mm-hmm. And then once you get like X counters, you change state. And when you're in a different state, it does stuff. So like if you can have a card that says like become, I don't know, meditative or something. I don't remember what the specific ones were. And then when you're in that state, it just affects the way that the other cards work.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was just, it just has a bunch of effects that have scry on them, which is literally just like look at the top X and discard as many as you want. And it's a bunch of cards that do that, but they also do other things. So like they'll give you defense, or they'll give you damage, or
whatever.
They'll do some other third thing or whatever. Yeah. And then effects that trigger
when
you scry. Yeah. And that like kind of ruined the whole game for me, just because it was so easy to just like just
cherry pick.
Right. I was like, how did you guys let this one through compared to the other ones? Because I was playing with the red one before that.
Yeah.
And I was like, this character is like dog shit times 50 compared to this other one in terms of function. Because like with that character, I was struggling to even get to the final boss, the red one.
Mm-hmm.
So all their cards are just like, I don't know. I wasn't vibing that hard with like, they're like the bruiser. Like they'd be a barbarian probably. Mm-hmm. Of just like, I get big attacks and big defense. And I'm like, all right, great. That's cool. But they don't have like a ton of resource like they don't gain a bunch of more stuff in the same way that some of the other ones do. And when I went over to the purple one, I'm like, all right, so every turn I just play my entire hand all of it, and I just do like 20 damage and gain like 50 block every turn. And that's like the, and that's just all it ever did. And I was like, all right. And like by the, I was halfway through the second of the three things, and I was already like, I'm never gonna take another card ever again, because all, because every card in my deck, all it needs to do,
you is had draw a cards, tune engine, at
right?
That point.
It's draw cards, generate mana, or scry. And if it doesn't do one of those three things, I don't need it. It's every other card is worthless. And it, so just it, like it was so overpowered that it kind of broke the game for me. I was like, this isn't even fun anymore. I'm just kind of just clicking on everything in my whole hand, and then my turn is over.
I think I kind of reached a point like that in Solitarica, because I'm at I'm gonna load it up really quick, because I had gone through and beaten, like, there's four colors again, and for a while, like, they've got a bunch of like mixes. There's like attack and defense. There's like kind of a defense and like a speed. There's like the scry and and it mixes all the combinations are mixed together. And then you get just straight monocolored decks. And I have been stuck undoing the barbarian, which is the red one, ironically, just because it's like, it's so like it, there's so few options that it has, and I feel like that's like the more attack powered focused anything any one of them is, because I've gotten kind of far. I didn't beat the, well,
that's the thing about building like an archetype like that is like big numbers don't mean shit. You only do like one big number a turn, whereas if I have like a deck that can do 50 small numbers a turn, guess which one is better.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, so then I like, I'm sure I'll play some more of it, but I had to go back to like the less good. Like I went back to play the red one, and I did a little better with it the second time, but it's still like it's, like the difference between like how like this one, like the purple one was just like, oh, the strategy was just so obvious and so overpowered that it was like I'm not even playing a game anymore. And the red one was, like I said, just a struggle of like, I just felt like with the cards that, with the sum total of all the cards I was presented on a run, I was like, all right, I just kind of hit a brick wall and I can't do anything because all this character is so bad. But so those were very, like, they felt oppositely balanced. Like, this one feels too crappy and this one feels too nuts. Maybe the other two are in the middle and I need to play them.
Because I watched, I think it was like the blue guy, the robot, who gets like almost like, Gradius options. Okay. Like you basically channel these orbs and they can do like you turtle up and essentially like manipulate these orbs around you. And then there's the, I don't know, that first one we watched him play, the thief or whatever.
Yeah, the green one.
Where it's like lots of little plinky attacks or like poisony stuff, which was the one I was most interested in, but I'm also not like, that's not really the type of game that I play. Solitarica is as deep into that as I got, but it's also like Spider Solitaire.
Yeah. And here's the other thing that I realized about that, how I feel about that game, at least from playing it myself, is that that game both takes advantage of the fact that it's in digital form. And I kind of think for me personally, it would be better if it didn't. Because the way it does those, the way you like lay out some of the cards and they give you just like passive stacking buffs. There's something so unsatisfying to me about it just being like this tiny little like 8-pixel icon like under your character that if you hover over it, you know, it tells you what the fuck it does. Versus if you're playing like a traditional physical paper card deck builder.
Cards.
And right, and you see your like tableau growing before you. Like you can see like, oh, I started with one card in play and now it's turn 8 and I've got like 7. I can see all of them in front of me and like what I can read their text whenever I just choose to like to glance over just ever so slightly to each one.
Any DBZ orange build ever. drills for days.
Because like I said, when I was playing that purple deck, that was the thing about that was that I just realized that's how I realized how much I disliked that part of the game's presentation. I was just like, I don't even, none of the math even matters. I'm just going to play every card in my hand. And no matter how, what set of cards I draw, or mostly no matter what sequence I play them in, it's just going to, I'm just going to have done some damage and been invincible because I have like 80 block or whatever. So it just felt like I said, there's something about I don't care about the, like, the art in that game is fine, but I would have been just as satisfied if it were literally like a digital tabletop with cards on it, as opposed to like pretending that you're in a dungeon or whatever. Like, that part of the game is totally meaningless to me. Like, like, I would have taken a more stripped down version, just to, like I said, just to have a more representative visual presentation of the stuff you have. But I think that's largely a preference.
Right.
I think that's largely a personal preference. I don't necessarily think it's a mistake that they made doing that, but I think for me, that would have, like, I would have preferred that.
If they were building Slay the Spire, Dustin Edition.
Right. It would have just been, like, a crappy-looking card table background with, you know, my little... Just
remake Slay the Spire and Tabletop Simulator, and then go from there.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, that's my initial impressions on that. I do like the progression stuff in that game is good, of just, like, the... advancing through the run and picking up new cards and stuff. I think they did a good job in that. There's a handful of tiny little mini games that are more than even just like the text prompts, where it's like, where most of them are just like, pick one or two options or just leave, like, you know, but like kind of D&D style, like, oh, you find an old man in a cave.
Kill him.
Do you want to give him 10 gold or do you want to kill him? but some of them, like, there's a goblin one where it's just like, I'm going to play that matching game with you from Mario 3. And if you match the cards, you get to keep them. Right. There's a small handful of things like that that are fun little touches that are good.
Goblin's good. More at 11.
So, yeah, that was my experience with Slay the Spire so far.
Woo!
And I think that's about it for the most part. Like I said, I play a little of that. Always playing... you know, some tiny amount of Destiny. Probably play less Destiny in the next week or two than I have in a long time. I do want to finish the story stuff that comes out.
But
it's a good time to play less Destiny because there's nothing else going on until fucking Halloween.
Yep. Spookoween. I'm interested to see how different that is with the Lost Sectors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. 100%. It'll actually be different this year. Which will be cool. Yeah, and we'll probably talk about Trials the next time we talk about those other guys, which I'll give my preview for that. And that I think they did a pretty good job. Like, I think they did a better job than I would have told you initially without having played it for a couple weeks. And that, like, I think everything they've changed, every change they've made to that game mode is positive. Like, I don't think there's anything that they've done that has made it worse. I think everything has made it ever so slightly better.
That's good.
And I still think switching all the way to that control mode is the right way to go, especially with the changes, like, they propose changes that they're gonna make before they do another test of that in like December.
Yeah, I skimmed through
they're gonna make the moving capture points a little more dynamic
and less
than
biased
just than just like
the static
center
ones.
AC.
Yeah.
And they're gonna take gaining the super off of the capture point, which that's all good. So, like, if they do those two things to that mode, I will go from, like, I'm 90% sure it's better than elimination to I'm 100% sure this is better than elimination. Just put this in instead.
Bang, bang.
Yeah.
Delightful.
Other than that, that's about it. So I'm going to pet this cat a tiny bit because she just keeps wandering around. But I'm glad we did this. I'm glad we sat down and had a little chat, a little update, because it had been a couple weeks. We'll keep trucking along. Someday I'll have...
something.
God willing, a video or two done, and maybe someday we'll make a card game and still work on some video games. Then he's going to keep doing art.
Allegedly.
Pottery and words.
Nobody wants any of those.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever shared, do you want to share any of your writing stuff? Like, for anybody who I suspect that that if anyone picks up on the podcast at this point, it'll be like, they'll find it from other things we end up doing than the other way around. But
I mean, there are links out there.
Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to give you the opportunity again. If you don't want to, that's fine. I don't know.
I mean, it's extremely niche genre fiction.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which is definitely not for everyone.
You can always catch us on here. You can always catch us on, if you want, look, follow Cubicorn Games on Facebook and Twitter. Share updates on many things on there.
Still do my art streams every Wednesday evening, generally speaking.
Yeah, it's just on Lori Chu, your Twitch channel.
Yep.
It's a good watch. I'd recommend it.
Okay. Gotta figure out what I'm gonna start. I wasn't necessarily expecting to finish that Diddy Kong Racing piece last week, but then I was like basically done. I'm like, I'm just gonna finish this.
Mm-hmm. Someday when we get, when the mood strikes us, we'll do some more streaming on Twitch, Cubecorn Games. Twitch.tv/CubecornGames.
Wow.
That's it. So yeah, we'll keep trying to do updates like this. We'll just try to get them out on the regular like we should. But for right now, I think we'll call it a wrap. So thank you, Colette, for mostly being good and
she's
not destroying too much
sweet
stuff.
She almost knocked that lamp over, which was funny.
Thank you, Lorraine, for joining me and sharing
your thoughts,
feelings, and feedback.
Woo!
And thank you, Internet, for anybody who happens to check in and listen to us rambling. So stay safe out there. Mm-hmm. Until next time, we will see you later.
Bye.